Thank you. Very, very honored to be here. And for the next few minutes, I'm going to try and go over several different things. Dr. Walker mentioned that we tried to put some numbers to things. So I'll be going through some slides. A lot of them will have a lot of data on them. You guys have these in your proceedings. Being an old guy, I forgot that we did everything electronically, so I thought, oh, they might have them in front of them. So a lot of times when we look at some of these numbers and these slides that are pretty busy with a lot of data in them, we're really going to look at the bottom line, and we're not going to necessarily go through the process. If you want to understand a little bit about how I came up with some of the numbers, we can talk about that in the bullpen session. As Dr. Walker said, if you're interested in any of the ester synchronization systems, we can visit about that in the bullpen session as well. To start off, I kind of want to make a disclaimer. So you guys are probably very familiar with Dr. Harlan Hughes, emeritus professor in economics, livestock economics, from North Dakota State University, who now resides in Kuna, Idaho. So he's a for real economist. And what you've got up here is a physiologist, and I don't know if you guys can read that, but the cardboard sign says, "We'll preg check cows for food." So sometimes when you're a physiologist, you're only interested in kind of the next meal and maybe not the big picture. So we're going to try and do a little big picture stuff to you as well, with you as well. Just kind of a quick history, not to read this to you, but over 80 years ago, they figured out the technique that we presently use for artificially inseminating cows. 70 years ago, Dr. Polge figured out how to freeze semen that we could then thaw and inseminate a cow and end up with a pregnancy. About 40 years ago, we started working with ester synchronization systems and have been improving them ever since. And in the last decade, we've had sex semen available to us as a tool. But we really haven't made a lot of progress with that, and we kind of figure out, want to know why, and Dr. Walker alluded to some of the reasons. And I'll visit with you on some possibilities as well. From a personal standpoint, in 1948, my grandfather was inseminating the dairy cows on the Hall's Pleasant Home Farm with fresh semen. As a response to that, my father, who was in high school, got the opportunity to describe artificial insemination to his biology class. My father, who was an ag economist, said, "Well, best way to tell you, Mr. Brown, is we used to have a bull, but now a man comes and does it." That got him a trip to the principal's office, because in 1948, those kinds of things were not usually said. So where are we with AI in the U.S.? 66% of the dairy cows in the U.S. are bred AI. 85% of the Holsteins in the U.S. are bred AI. But where are we on the beef side? We only have about 8% of the operations, probably a little more than that now, because these are some old numbers, that use ester synchronization. And we've got about 8% of the operations that are using AI. And that's probably getting a little closer to 10%, we hope, with some of the work that we've done over the years. So why haven't we adopted that? If this technology is out there, we know how to use it, why haven't we adopted it, and why did the dairy guys adopt it? Well, for the dairy guys, one of the reasons was, And our challenge for us is, sometimes it's hard for us as beef guys to see what the benefit to that AI is in a timely fashion for us. For the dairy guys, the average dairy cow in the U.S. has an increase of about 260 pounds per year in production and in milk production. About 150 of that has been attributed to genetics. The rest is nutrition and management. And so it was pretty easy for the guys using AI in dairy cows to see in that milk check the value of AI. And so the problem is, how do we capture that value in AI with the beef operation? This is just a graph that shows you the different breeding methods, kind of goes back to our lack of use of AI. But we see that about 20% of the heifers in the U.S. are probably exposed to AI at some point in time, whether it be followed up with cleanup bull or used with AI only. A few of those heifers are also purchased, but a proportion of those heifers that are purchased are AI bred. On the cow side, on the other hand, we don't use a lot of AI, and there's a lot of logistical reasons for that. And the fixed-timed AI systems help take care of some of those logistical reasons. But honestly, when you've got to get cattle up, you got to sort cattle, and especially in the western U.S. where cattle might be scattered out, it is a labor-intensive operation. But we can get through it fairly easily with some of these fixed-time day-eye systems. So why should we just not turn these boys out and go about other things that we need to do on the ranch? Why should we think about AI? Dr. Walker told you about a couple of reasons that we might need to think about AI. I want to give you a couple more. One of them is this is retail beef demand. So what do you see there? The blue line is the percentage of folks that want choice beef compared to the red line, which is select. And so increasingly, our consumers telling us we want more high-quality beef. And not only choice, but CAB, the upper two-thirds of choice, and even prime beef is really, really desired by the consumer. And so we need to figure out a way to do that, and AI certainly gives us the opportunity to do that because we can use those highly proven sires that have carcass information that we know are going to give us the kind of cattle that the consumer wants. The other thing is we've got to watch out for these guys. Where are those cattle? Where do those white cattle reside? Brazil, right? So Brazil is one of our big competitors. The Brazilians use those Nolor or Nolore cattle because they're adapted to their environment, but they don't produce a very good product. What they've started doing, as you can see on that lower right-hand corner, is producing terminal cross Angus Nolore calves that they're going into their system, and the beef that they produce is shown in the on the left-hand side. And yeah, that's pretty barky, but in their system, that's kind of what they like. So they have an opportunity now to produce high-quality beef like we're used to, that's grain-fed, that they can compete to with us on the global level. And how did they do that? They did that by increasing the use of fixed-timed AI. So this graph in the middle shows you that now over 85% of the AI that's done in Brazil is fixed-timed AI. They're doing over 11 or 12 million inseminations a year, and that's roughly 12 to 15% of their cow herd is getting artificially inseminated to produce a product that's going to compete with yours. The other thing is, if we're going to use AI, you heard Dr. Walker talk about that if we're going to be successful with AI and get our money's worth out of it, we really need to have those cattle exhibiting estrus prior to fixed-timed AI. And so in order to do that, we need to not forget the basics, the good management that most of you guys that are in this room use every single year in your herds. But let's just do a quick review. So those basic reproductive technologies that we've talked about. This is the NOMS data from 2009. The 2019 one hasn't come out yet. And really it shows us Western beef operators are better users of technology than any other beef operators in the U.S. But still, we have only about 20% of the operations, according to this survey, using body condition scoring. Only about 32% of the operations are using semen evaluation on every single bull that goes out, not just the yearling bulls, but every bull. And then pregnancy detection is being used at a lower rate. In this room, probably a much higher rate than that's on that graph. And then the other technologies that we've talked about are down below. So let's not forget that we need to do those things. We need to have cows in good body condition so they're nutritionally ready. We need to have a closed calving season, a short calving season, so the postpartum interval, they can start to cycle back before we start to do an AI program. And we palpate for pregnancy because we're going to get rid of those infertile cows in our herd before we start an AI program. Just a reminder, cows need to be in about a body condition score of 5 at calving to be very successful reproductively. First calf heifers need to be about a body condition score 6. This is some work that was done by J.M. Wilkbank several years ago. He had a system that he called the O'Connor system, and all the O'Connor system was kind of good basic management. It was cows that calved in a 60-day period. They were in good body condition score when they calved. All the bulls that were turned out with these cows had semen checks, and then they also removed the calves for 48 hours before they started the breeding season, before they turned the bulls in. You can see that by doing that, compared to a herd that was 120-day calving interval, and the bulls just got turned out without any semen checks, that there was a definite increase in the amount of pregnancies that came from the O'Connor system. So again, just another reminder, have good management before you even start to think about an AI program, and AI will be more successful and profitable for you. The other thing is some work out of Missouri. This is with 35,000 heifers in the Missouri Show Me Select system. Is we need to make sure those heifers are ready, that we've developed those heifers properly and they're reproductively ready. One way we can do that is by giving them a reproductive tract score. That's when the veterinarian or the technician goes in, palpates the uterus and the ovaries, and based on the size of the uterus and the number of follicles or other structures like CLs on the ovary, we give them a number from 1 to 5. 4s and 5s are heifers that are already cycling. 3s are pretty close to cycling, and then 1s and 2s, 1s being pretty much an infantile tract. And this is the pregnancy rates to synchronized AIs in those groups. So again, just a reminder, heifers have to be well-developed. If you're just getting into AI with heifers, and maybe you've had a little trouble getting heifers bred, it'd be worth having your veterinarian go through and do a reproductive tract score before you invest the money in AI. So now, really to talk about what I was up here supposed to talk about, was let's talk about some of the economics. Bull versus AI. Well, we know that bulls are getting more and more expensive. You saw that number that Dr. Walker put up there. So about $5,000 is about an average commercial bull anymore, but we've seen them as high as $10,000 going into commercial herds. Work by Dr. Van Eneman's group showed that in a study they did with 15 different calvings, so over 5,000 calves, when they turned bulls out in multi-sire groups, even though those bulls had gone through fertility checking, those bulls don't necessarily make as many calves as we think they do. On average, in her study, they were producing 18.9 calves when they were turned out on a 1 to 25 ratio with those bulls. And that varied from 0 to 64. And there's about 4.4% of the bulls that weren't producing any offspring at all. So just because we turn a bull out, just because he has passed his breeding soundness exam, doesn't mean he has the ability necessarily to get cows pregnant. And so let's talk a little bit about what it means if we look at bull price on cost of calf sired. So up on the top is the purchase price for that bull. I've assumed that maintenance cost is about $700 a year to keep that bull around. I've only given him a 3-year lifespan because we don't seem to like bulls last that long. Plus, we don't like them breeding their daughters. They kind of have funny-looking calves. We have a risk of loss. Okay, my AI tank never got stifled in the middle of the breeding season. My AI tank never broke its penis halfway through the breeding season. My AI tank never decided, you know, it really is a long way to go down and breed that cow down that hill. And so he kind of gave up halfway through the breeding season. And to this day, my AI tank has never chased any of my guys out of the field. So there are some things that we have to deal with. So that's the dollar figure is based on risk of loss of that bull to some reason, whether it's the bull failure or injury or death. Cost of that bull for over the 3-year periods, and then the annual cost. And so if we just look at that, whoop, went the wrong way. Hopefully that's going to come up. If we look at that $5,000 bull, which seems to be the average, if I gave that bull 90% preg rate, so that's a little better than those California bulls. Maybe our bulls are smarter than theirs. I don't know. But that comes up with about a $90, $91 cost per pregnancy for that bull for that year. So keep that number in mind, because the next slide is we're going to look at that cost. So Dr. Walker showed you that cost of a bull versus semen, and you guys are all going, but, there's all those other costs that go along with AI. And so down there in the bottom right-hand corner is the assumptions that I've used for a 300-cow herd. And the bottom line on that is it costs about $14,268 for synchronization drugs, semen costs, technician fees, and additional labor to get those cows up, sort them, and put them through the chute. Okay? If we look at that and we say we've got a 50% preg rate, then we end up with about 150 calves out of that, and that calf's going to cost us about $95 to have that AI calf. If we're getting around the 55% level, which is what we see more normally, then that AI calf is cheaper than that natural service calf that we saw. But remember, we don't get all those cows bred with that fixed-timed AI. So we're a little cheaper there, and we can get even cheaper if we do a better job of getting cows pregnant with AI. So this is, again, some figures to kind of compare a fixed-time AI with a cleanup bull to bulls only. And we've got a couple different scenarios. We got cheap, so we used some $4,000 bulls. When I go out to buy bulls for the university, we have a limit, so we're kind of bottom feeders. We're a little on the cheap side, but we work and get the best bulls we can. And we compared those to either bulls only or fixed-timed AI cleanup bulls only that are $5,000 bulls, and then the fixed-time AI cleanup where instead of cutting the bull power in half, we've added an extra bull because we tend not to cut that bull power all the way in half. At the university, with the cows that are out on the irrigated pastures, I'll run one bull to 50 cows after we do AI. Out on range, I'll run one bull to 40 to 35 cows out on range after we do AI. So we've got to have a few more bulls. The other thing to remember is, because we did fixed-timed AI, because we've shifted more of those cows calving earlier in the calving season, we have more opportunities to get those cows bred. And so what we normally see is when we use fixed-timed AI compared to natural service, we'll pick up a 3 to 5% increase in the overall percentage of cows pregnant at the end of the year compared to natural service. If we kind of compare that $5,000 bull used on 300 cows or fixed-timed AI versus cleanup with 300 cows, you can see that the cost of AI and the cost of natural service are about the same. Now, about this time, Willie Altenberg's starting to throw the tomatoes at me, but the cost is about the same, so why should we invest in that? Why shouldn't we just turn those bulls out? Well, we need to capture the value of AI, and there's certainly things we can do to capture that value of AI to make AI profitable for us. This is a study that was done down in Florida where they took Angus cows down in Florida and they either bred them with a fixed-timed AI and cleanup bulls or just turned the bulls out. So, weaning rate there is a little lower than what we're used to, but they have a lot more heat down there. But you can see they picked up about a 6% weaning rate when they used the fixed-timed AI. And that's not atypical that what we see in a lot of different studies. And that weaning weight is actually the weaning weight per cow exposed, okay? Florida cows are not that sorry. They have better calves than that. But that's weaning weight per cow exposed. And when we do that, you see that about 38 pounds on average is what they gained by having that fixed-timed AI in there. And I want you to keep that number in your head because when we get a look at a lot of different studies, we see an advantage of about 30 to 40 pounds when we use fixed-timed AI and cleanup compared to just natural service. The other thing, like Dr. Walker mentioned, we're shifting that calving distribution more towards the early part of the calving season. And remember that for every 21 days that a calf is earlier in the calving season, he's going to weigh about 35 to 50 pounds more at weaning time than he would. And so that translates into, depending on how well we do get our calves marketed, somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 to $75 per calf. Now, obviously not all those calves are born in the very first part of the calving season. But if we get 70%, or like at the university, we have 84% of our calves come in the first 30 days. Okay? So we have a little bit of a busy time with 390 cows that we calve at the operation. But we get done, and we've got some pretty heavyweight calves at the end of the year. This is some work that came from a large herd. They had 600 cows, so large at least by their standards, because this was an eastern herd. And it was reported at the BIF meetings back in 2007. But this cow herd, they had kept track of whether the sire and the dam of that calf were products of AI, whether just the sire was AI sire, or whether they were natural service or a combination of natural service and AI. And what you can see is a combination of that age of calf and genetic merit, those AI calves that were sired by AI bulls out of dams that had AI in their pedigree were 35 pounds heavier than the next group of calves, which had AI sires but no AI dam. And they were, on average, 55 pounds heavier than the average of the group of calves. So they captured the value of AI in that program, not only on the sire side, but on the dam side as well. And there's a lot of numbers on this particular table, and I'm not going to go through all of them except to say what we have are three different scenarios. One is the fixed-timed AI with cleanup bulls. The other is bulls only for four, and the bulls at $4,000 rather than $5,000. And the one scenario has bulls, the difference between the cleanup bulls and the natural service bulls being 5% difference in preg rate. The other scenario is only a 2% difference in preg rate. And then if you go down to weaning weights, we're looking at a 30% difference in weaning weight between the bulls only and the cleanup, or the other scenario is a 20% difference in weaning weight. And so we also put a slide on those weights. So this, we sold those calves at 550 pounds for a 140 weight, and we have an eight cent slide. And so that's why the numbers are different on the value of those calves. So if you look at that, that return over investment, and we can't see the bottom line. Can we put that up a little bit? Because we can't see the one side. But if we just compare column one and column two, there's about a $13,000 advantage to using fixed-timed AI in this system compared to natural service. If we compare column three to column two, you can't see that number, but that number is about $4,000 advantage to fixed-timed AI. That's in your proceedings. Okay, so we can capture some value on the calf side. What about if we go all the way to the feedlot? We capture some value there. Again, that data from Hillwinds Farm showing that those calves that are products of AI on both sides of the pedigree, or even on the sire side of the pedigree, are heavier at harvest, they have fewer days on feed, and greater average daily gain. So we capture value if we do retained ownership on those cattle. The other thing they looked at was what were the returns to cow? If we, again, had that situation where we had the AI sire and the AI dam, for that calf, those calves returned about 20% more to the cow than calves that were all out of a natural service sire from a dam that was a product of natural service. And in that time, for that particular operation, that was an increase in $60,000 return to that operation by using AI and taking those cattle all the way through the feedlot and harvesting them. You can see that the percentage choice with no AI was 61%. When AI was on both sides of the pedigree, they were getting 97%. Now, we've changed cattle a lot since 2007, and you guys can see by just reading the market that we're getting higher increases in percent choice. So we've brought that up even with our natural service sires. But just an example. And also, if we look at some CAB data, that two different columns. One is kind of the industry average of cattle coming through the grid pricing, and the other is if we improve sorting in genetics. So one way to improve sorting is by using ester synchronization to get that calf crop closed up so that they're more uniform in age and size. And the other way to improve genetics is to capture it through AI and using some much more genetic, high genetic merit bulls that we can only capture through AI because we can't afford to buy bulls of that caliber for ourselves in our commercial operations. And there they saw about a $45 a head increase in value in those finished cattle. So we can capture value at the cow-calf level, we can capture value at the feeder level, and we can capture value at the harvest level as well. But let's not forget about these females, like Dr. Walker said. We need to capture the AI in those females, and I think sometimes that's one of those things we have trouble quantifying, and that's probably where maybe, for some of us, that's the greatest advantage. So at the university, we keep a Hereford Angus cross herd pretty complex breeding program. If your daddy was a Hereford, you get bred to an Angus. If your daddy was an Angus, you get bred to a Hereford. And we use an elite group of cows in our herd that produce our females. The rest of them get bred to Simmentals for a project that we're doing with the American Simmental Association that Dr. Glaze will talk about here in a little bit. So AI gives us a way to continue to create our crossbred females without having to keep a bull battery around of a bunch of different bull sires and end up with worrying about that from the cleanup side. Just a reminder, like Dr. Walker showed you, the earlier those heifers calve in the first calving season means they're going to stay in the herd longer. And that's a big piece of value for a commercial operation. The fewer cows we have to turn over, the more cows that we can keep in the herd, then the greater value we are going to get back from that herd. Because as Dr. Hughes would have told you, as a for real economist, those cows have to be several years old before they really start paying money back to the operation to cover the costs of heifer development. The other thing that we can use, if we use crossbreeding, is we can capture that maternal heterosis. Dr. Glaze will talk about this more, but we increase calving rate by about 3.5%, we increase weaning weight by about 18 pounds, and we increase longevity of that cow by about a year and a half. And that's pretty impactful to the commercial herd. The other thing that we've done some work on over the years is the gender-selected semen or sex semen. We've done that work both just on our own there at the university and also in conjunction with other universities. This was some work that was led by the University of Missouri that we participated in. And just kind of, again, the bottom line, a lot of busy numbers on there. But with over 800 heifers in this particular project, we used the same bulls, either conventional semen or sex-sorted semen. We saw about an 8% decrease in pregnancy rates with the sex-sorted semen, but we were up over 52%. And if you think about that, if we do a fixed-timed AI in those heifers with sex semen, and then we follow up with cleanup bulls, we're going to end up with about a 70% heifers coming out of those first calf heifers. So one of the things we can do is use sex-sorted semen to decrease the calving interval or the generation interval and make heifers out of heifers. And fortunately, because we've got some good bulls, we're able to even use the Hereford bulls on our heifers to keep our two-breed cross going there at the university. So that's an option, way we could capture some value. There's just some numbers for you. Those numbers have been generated while we're doing experiments on estrus synchronization. So we sometimes don't give those cattle the best opportunity to get pregnant to the AI, but we're averaging about 62% AI pregnancy rate on our heifers with conventional semen, about 48 to 50% with our sex semen, and on our cows we're about 55% preg rate there over a six-year period of time that these data put together. You can see the range. We had a few bad years, or actually probably bad estrus synchronization systems that we used, and we don't recommend those. What happens in terms of our calves? What I don't have listed here is the AI calves are that white bar or that middle bar, and the natural service calves are the bar at the bottom, and then it's just the total at the top. And so you can see that we have about a 50 to, if we just look at only the Angus sired calves, about a 60-pound difference in those AI calves versus the natural service calves. And that's because, as I said, we're economically limited when we go to buy our bulls. And so we're buying bulls to breed to these heifers, natural service, that are calving ease. So what's the thing that we always have to give up when we buy a calving ease bull? Calving ease bulls are pretty expensive, right? Anybody buy a calving ease bull lately? They cost you a little bit. What do you usually give up when you put calving ease into that bull unless you're wanting to pay $10,000 for a bull? What? Weaning weight, growth, right? And so this gives you an opportunity to capture that. We'll have heifers that calve easily. We only have about an 8% assistance rate at the research station, and that doesn't matter whether we're AI or we're natural service, because I think we've done a great job in the industry producing bulls for natural service that also have good calving ease numbers. So that's system for us. We used to say AI was great to reduce calving ease problems, but I don't know that we see that as much anymore. What I want to finish up with are some things that you guys can use at home to figure things out for yourself. The first one is the Astrosynchronization Planner. That's free. It runs on Excel. You download it from the Iowa Beef site. That's in your proceedings, the link to that. It allows you to look at different astrosynchronization systems, put costs in, and also gives you a nice calendar which tells you exactly what you need to do on a specific day so that you follow the protocol exactly so you'll have good results. The other thing is, you guys might want to say, well, is this really going to work in my herd? Paul put a bunch of numbers up there, and he had just kind of got them from somewhere. Some of them probably had good basis, some of them maybe not so much. But the University of Nebraska has a program they call the Breeding Cost Calculator. That's an Excel spreadsheet, and you can use that to compare natural service to fixed-timed AI or AI costs to you. The University of Florida and Zoetis have come up with an app, for those of you who like apps, that does basically the same thing, but it only works on iPhones or iPads. Those of us that live in the Android world are out of luck, so that system doesn't work on there anymore. So in summary, when will AI pay? Well, just that reminder, we've got to have good management so those cows and heifers are ready to breed and ready to be in estrus prior to fixed-timed AI, and that we follow those estrus synchronization protocols carefully. Finally, those things that we looked at is we have an opportunity to capture value in AI by getting more calves born early in the calving season and breeding to some of those high-growth sires that we might not be able to access as easily when in natural service sires. If, we didn't talk about this, but maybe Dr. Glaze will, if we breed a portion of the herd to terminal sires, so we don't want to keep any heifers out of that, we can probably increase the value of those calves. Those heifers calving early in the calving season and not having dystocia problems end up staying in the herd a longer time. And then don't forget maternal heterosis. I know that in a lot of part of the world, crossbreeding is still a dirty word, but I think that crossbred cow is one of the greatest advantages that we haven't taken to heart. And then finally, if you go to the point of retaining ownership, we can see a lot of that AI value coming back to you in the terms of quality carcasses and heavy carcass weights. With that, I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you this morning. I know I've rattled on pretty quickly. One of the reasons they asked me to come was so I could hopefully keep us on time. So with that, I appreciate your attention and hope to see you this evening at the bullpen sessions.